Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We're continuing our sermon today based on the question found in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, and that question is, what shall we do? What shall we do? And in considering this question, we've been talking, first of all, about the power of God, because we are looking at the events that preceded the question or that led to this question, and then we are going to look at the response to the question. So the first thing that we have focused on is the power of God, and we've looked not only at what is found in Acts chapters 1 and 2, and more so we have emphasized Acts chapter 1 with regard to the promise of this power as communicated by Jesus Christ to his apostles. But also, we've looked at various portions of scripture that really speak to or speak about the power of God. And I just want us to recognize that when we are speaking of the power of God, that we are speaking of divine power. We are speaking of unparalleled power. We are speaking of miraculous power. And so God's power is without equal. And therefore, we should recognize and realize this. And as we concluded last week, we concluded with Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. And this is worship in response to the power of God. And I'm just going to read this once more as we start out today. And all of this is in relation to the question found in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. What shall we do? So looking at Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, once more, just focusing on worship in relation or in response to God's power. I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, "And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." So this is a true and faithful saying. This is the point of emphasis in worship, and that is the power of God, and not just his power, but the blessing, the glory. This is speaking well of God. This is exalting his name. This is honoring who he is. And speaking of the glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might. And this says forever and ever. And this is, again, what I want us to continue, not just to know, but to appreciate, to reverence, to bow down to, and to understand that this is worship. Worship in response to God and who he is and his mighty power, in addition to his love and his grace, his mercy, his pity, his compassion, his long suffering. But don't forget about the power of God. And this again is a part of our worship. And that is recognizing and realizing who God is, what he has done, and realizing that he is God forever and ever, in case you missed the first ever, forever and ever. And all of God's people said, Amen. So as we consider this, we have looked at the power of God in relation to this question, what shall we do? And now we look at the words of Peter. And when we consider the words of Peter, we're looking, first of all, we're going to look at two sections here in the second chapter of Acts, in which we take a closer look at the words of Peter. Now, this is primarily a summary or a general look at his words, but it's also important to realize that what Peter is emphasizing as he speaks that lead to the response of the multitude. So this is why we're going to look at the words of Peter, and we're going to look at the words of Peter, first of all, in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. And I'm going to read from the English Standard Version for this portion of the scripture. And again, this is Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. We're going to consider the words of Peter. So looking at starting at verse 14, it says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel or Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" And this is found in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And this is what the Apostle Peter is communicating. Now, what is it that brought about this response from Peter? Well, as we move up and considering the words of Peter, as we move up in this second chapter and we look again at verses 1 through 13, then we see this manifestation of God's power. And it speaks of the day of Pentecost. And we have it communicated to us in the scripture that they, as they were all together in one place, that this sound from heaven came like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. That's in verse 2. And then as you consider what is communicated in verses 3 and 4, "And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, this speaks of the power of God. And we know that it came from heaven because it was promised from heaven. And this just fulfills what God had promised. The time had now come concerning this promised power. And this is the manifestation of God's power that leads to the words of Peter based on the response of the multitude. And so when we consider what is taking place here, as we continue to move toward this question in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, the events that preceded this response in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 are the great or the manifestation, the promised power of God as manifested to the multitude. And this is the point of emphasis here. God's power and the response to his power. Also, who he uses and how God uses these vessels, these servants, to demonstrate his power among the multitudes, in the midst of the multitudes. So they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit gave them utterance. They were furnished. They were supplied with the Holy Spirit. They had what they needed to do what God had for them to do. And this is a message to us. We cannot do what God has for us to do without the work of God in us to work for him. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. People are working with all kinds of spirits, but the problem is very few seem to be working with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me put it this way. Very few seem to be working under the Holy Spirit, under the divine power of God. So in this manifestation, we understand, or we should understand, that this is according to God's plan and God's purpose. And this is what God intends to do concerning himself, and as it relates to those who he uses to communicate his message and to display his power. But the display of his power is necessary to communicate his message. And that's what's happening. They are under God's power, under God's influence, and they utter according to the Spirit of God and what God's will is for them to say. You heard the saying, I'm sure, loose lips sink ships. And those of us in the military, particularly those of us from the Navy, we know that very well. And in this case, the utterances or the display of God's power actually loosens their lips, but it loosens their lips. It releases their tongue for God's purpose and for God's plan. So in this case, he loosens their tongue in order to magnify and glorify himself, to communicate his message. And this is why it says that it resulted in questions from the multitude. The first question they had, as they were amazed and astonished, is found in verse 7, where they say, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" In the following verse, again, the question, "And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language?" So this is God's work concerning God's work. It's his power at work declaring his mighty works. And this is what we find down in verse 11. "We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." So God is at work through his Holy Spirit in his servants, declaring his mighty works. And he's doing it in the native languages of the multitude. And this is according to the Holy Spirit and the utterance that the Holy Spirit gives. Do you understand that the gift that is spoken of here is not for man to be glorified? It's not to start another denomination where the emphasis is on speaking in tongues. The church is not divided. These tongues may be divided, but the church is not divided any more than the Spirit of God is divided. How absurd is it to think that God gives utterances through his Spirit for the purpose of dividing the church? That's foolish. God gave this utterance for a specific purpose concerning his people and the message that he was to communicate concerning himself. And this display of power is unique when we consider the circumstances. That is, it is Pentecost. This is the first fruits. This is the pouring out of God's Spirit. And we will see that when we focus more on the words of Peter. But in order to really understand what we have and what Peter communicates, we've got to understand that there was an initial response that leads to Peter's response. But this response was again in relation to or concerning the power of God on display. And it was not for man's glory, it was for God's glory. And it solicits a response from man, and more specifically, God solicits a response from man. And they were all amazed and perplexed in verse 12 here in Acts chapter 2. Again, reading from the English Standard Version, saying to one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? This is not what they've seen. This is not what they expect, because it says in verse 7, it says, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? God is, through the filling of his Holy Spirit, providing tongues to give utterance to these Galileans so that this multitude will hear in their own native language the mighty works of God. You talk about being amazed. You talk about holy power. This is what leads to the question in verse 12. What does this mean? How is this possible? The power of God. And the power of God, as we had just looked at in Revelation chapter 7, it's about his glory. It is about who he is, what he does, and how worthy he is. And man needs to wake up, and I'm talking to the Christian man as well as the heathen. We need to wake up and bow down in the presence of the mighty God, the wonder-working God, the all-powerful God, the God above all gods, the King above all kings, the Lord above all lords. We need to get over ourselves and stop being impressed with man and bow down and worship the only one who's worthy, and that is the living God and the Lamb, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this is about, the mighty works of God, and all based on the filling, the furnishing, the supply of the Holy Spirit in order for God's servants to speak, and not just to speak, but to speak in the native language of the multitude. And that means languages. And yet, they were Galileans, so they didn't take native language 101. They got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they didn't call down the Holy Spirit. God gave it to them. They had to wait for God to pour out his Spirit in his time. They had to wait, and it was all based on God's timing, his power, his purpose, his mighty works. So what does this mean? This is the question before we get to the words of Peter in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 14. The question again is posed here in verse 12. What does this mean? And it tells us in verse 13, but others mocking said they are filled with new wine. They're drunk. And so no wonder they're just babbling on. No, we hear them speaking in our native language. My understanding is the expectation when you get drunk is you either cry, you either laugh, or you slur. But you don't suddenly become an expert in native languages, particularly in relation to the mighty works of God. So this is the response. They look for an explanation. They ask the question, but they also come to a conclusion. That is, they were all perplexed. Some posed this question, what does it mean? But others were mocking and saying they're filled with new wine. And we get Peter's response that I just read. The words of Peter, the first section that we look at is found in chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. And again, I've read it already, but I just want to sort of give an overview of what Peter is communicating here in response to this. First, it says he stood with the 11 and lifted up his voice. He called their attention to what he has to say. And he, first of all, made sure that they understood this is not a matter of being filled with new wine. They're not drunk. This is what Peter says in verse 15. It's only the third hour of the day. It's still morning time. And then he goes on to communicate this is what is uttered through the prophet. What prophet? Joel. The Lord is God, or the Lord is my God. And he communicates based on Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, what God declared through the prophet. That means that God had foretold that this would happen. Jesus spoke of it again. He speaks of it in Acts chapter 1 concerning this promise. But this promise can only come after the ascension of Jesus Christ following his resurrection. He says, I'm going to send you a comforter. My Father has promised to give you a comforter after I leave. And this is what we have. The emphasis is not on the gift of tongues for the purpose of dividing the church. The emphasis is on the glory of God, the mighty works of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the supply, the furnishing of the Holy Spirit for God's purpose and to God's glory. It's for people to be amazed by the mighty works of God. And this is where we fall short. We are not amazed by God and his mighty works. We are fascinated with entertainment and the wickedness of man. And all of these methods and all of these plans and all of these gimmicks that we come up with to try to convince people about some souped up religion. When plain and simple, you can't do anything for God without the power of God. And the only way to have the power of God is by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, come down from heaven, sent from the Father because of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we consider Peter's words, he speaks of what the prophet Joel said, and he speaks of what God says through the prophet, that in the last days it shall be, God declares. Now, this is God's word, so you know that this announcement will come to pass because God said it. He says, I will pour out my spirit. This is what is repeated here. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Understand context. This doesn't mean that this is. A willy-nilly pouring out of God's spirit. It is very deliberate. It is very intentional. You see, even in the context of this passage, that he hasn't yet poured out his spirit on all flesh, but the emphasis has to do with the pouring out of his spirit on those who he chooses. Those who believe, and he says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. It's God's discretion. It's his prerogative. It's his spirit to give. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. These are the bond servants. These are the slaves. In those days, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. Emphasis on God pouring out his spirit. And he says in verse 19, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes. Before the day of the Lord comes. And then descriptive of that day, the great and magnificent day, the memorable day, the great and memorable day, the day that will appear. So there's certainty to this day that is coming, and it is the day of the Lord. And so God gives notice, and this is what he does. He gives notice. He puts us on notice. That's why Jesus Christ, when he preached, John the Baptist, when he preached, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is near. This is notice. We give notice as evangelists, as prophets, as teachers, as pastors, as Christians. We give notice concerning the day of the Lord, the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is coming. And so the Lord gives notice, and this is what he promised through the prophet Joel, that in the last days, and if you ever had a sense of urgency, you best have a sense of urgency now, because we are in the last days. It was the last days during this time. This is what the Lord speaks of. And he says that before the day of the Lord comes, and it's a great and terrible or magnificent day, because it's the day of the Lord. He is announcing this. And he's not just announcing it to say things or to give empty promises. He's saying, my day is coming. His day. The day that only he knows, that he has marked. And he says that he will pour out his spirit in the last days. And he says in verse 21, it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What about you? Everyone who calls upon his name, the purpose is to get to the end through the means. That is the salvation that God promises to all who appeal to him. You've got to call upon the name of the Lord. And this manifestation of his power, this promise through the prophet Joel, is all about God's power, all about his promise, and all about the last days, and especially the day of the Lord. But he says, before this day, it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon his name shall be saved. This is what God is communicating concerning himself. These are the words of Peter concerning God's promise and the manifestation of his power, the purpose of what God is doing in this place at this time. So we're going to stop here today, and Lord willing, the next time we will continue on this sermon concerning the words, what shall we do? From Acts chapter 2, verse 37. In the meantime, make sure you tell somebody just how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.